Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're continuing our series called Revival Life. We're going over the gifts of the Holy Spirit as Paul enumerated them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to continue with that today. Last week, we taught on the gift of prophecy, which I thought was a pretty good teaching. I was encouraged. I think some people got stirred up in that, and hopefully you did as well. And if you're, like I said last week, if you're curious about how we receive the gift of prophecy and how we minister prophecy, how we receive prophets in this house. We did a whole teaching series on it. You can find it on the web. And it's a, I think it was a 4 or 5 week series. It's pretty comprehensive, I think. And also, if you feel like this is your house, like this is the church that you're supposed to be a part of and possibly minister in one day, you really want to listen to that series because it really details how we minister, how we receive the gifts, how we relate to one another, and how we receive one another. What I found is every church that has any kind of prophetic gift, they have a prophetic culture. And there's a way that the gift is received. And when you don't, when you're not a part of that culture, sometimes you're not able to fully minister the gift that God has given you because you don't understand how to communicate it within that culture. And it's important to not, it's important to separate culture from who God is. And it's important to be able to discern the gift, and it's important to be able to discern Christ in one another. And it's important not to take maybe your baggage from one church and transfer it onto another church. And so, we're not wherever you came from, and we're not wherever you're going to go. We're who we are. And for those of you who feel like you're going to be sent out one day from this house, it's important. Wherever you go, you might have been received as a prophet here, but when you go into that next house, to expect to be received as a prophet is pride. It's prideful to think that you can show up at another house and not have to serve is foolish. We're going to go to Nicaragua in a couple weeks, and what we consistently tell our ministry teams is it's not like we're going to go to Nicaragua and change the country in a week. That's folly. That's just pride. That's kind of like Western pride that we have a better system. Therefore, when we go there, we're going to take. There's already Christians in Nicaragua, and by and large, they're doing pretty good. They're broke, but they're doing pretty good. And so if we can come and be a gift and impart a gift, that's good. But we have to understand what gift they need before we just show up with stuff. Does that make sense? If you come from Europe, the electrical system is different in Europe than it is over here. And you can show up with the nicest electronic gadget from Europe, but you come here and we can't use it because you can't plug it in. It's like, oh, I can't believe they don't receive my gift. Well, it doesn't work here. It doesn't work. And so some people show up with gifts that don't work here because they don't want to figure out how to get them plugged in. And that's just, I want to encourage you, if you have a gift or, God has used you in the past, figure out how we work here, what the current we're on, and see how it fits in. Because the Bible says a gift makes room for itself. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go ahead and read it together. And by together, I mean I'll read it and you'll listen to me read it. I don't know. But some churches, everybody reads it out loud together. If you want to, I guess you can. That's fine. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 7. Y'all there? It's on page 959 if you got the right Bible. It says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Can you say amen to the reading of the word of God? Hallelujah. So last week we talked about that gift of prophecy. Today we're going to talk about the first gifts in this series. But before I get to that, I want to back up and look at verse 7 again. If you got your Bible open, you want to look at that verse 7. I find it very interesting. It says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, I've taught several weeks in a row on what it means for the common good. I want to back up even a little bit more and talk about the manifestation of the Spirit. It does not say to each one is given a gift of the Spirit. So people say, I want a gift. Well, it doesn't say they were given a gift. It says to each one was given a manifestation of the Spirit. They'll say, well, isn't that a gift? Well, I don't know. Do you know what manifestation means? If you get to a word in the Bible, you don't know what it means? I got a little inside thing. Look it up. Crack open the dictionary. Look on Wikipedia. Do whatever you got to do to figure out what the word means, because the words in the Bible, they almost always mean something. Almost always, the words are there for a reason. And when you change the meaning of a word, generally, the meaning of the sentence changes. If I tell you give money to Mikey and you give money to Corey, the Mikey meant something. When I said Mikey, that didn't just mean give it to somebody. Well, I believe Mikey means Corey. Well, you'd be wrong. Mikey means something. Well, I just believe that money meant a swift kick in the mouth. Well, no, that's not what money means. Words have meaning. And we don't get to make up what words mean, so we got a dictionary and we say, these are what the words mean. You're like, well, I meant that. Well, then you should have used the other word. If you meant swift kick in the mouth, say swift kick in the mouth, not money. If you owe me money, I don't want a swift kick in the mouth. I want money. Does this make sense? That's why you have to sign contracts. And this is because words mean something. And in the Bible, it's just all you have to do to interpret it nowadays, say, well, I believe it means this. Well, you're wrong. Sometimes you're just wrong. Well, I don't believe this word means that. Well, you can't make up a new language. You just don't have that authority. You know, we have to find out what the words mean and figure out what Paul was trying to say. Now, you can argue that Paul is wrong. I think that's kind of a weak argument to have, but you could try that. So, it says here, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, we've talked about this before. To manifest something, and I rarely give dictionary definitions, but to manifest means it's readily perceived by the eye or understanding. It's evident, obvious, apparent, or plain. Would you like me to read that again? Well, I'll read it anyways. Manifest means readily perceived by the eye or the understanding. Readily apparent, readily perceived, easily to see by the eye or understanding. That doesn't mean that when I'm manifesting the gift, you can't see it or understand it. If you can't see it or understand it, that means it has not been manifest. Well, no, I'm flowing in a gift. Well, I don't see or perceive that. So the gift is, you say, I'm going to give a real easy example, and then we're going to move along. I flow in the gift of healing. I declare that you're healed, but my leg is still broken. No, it's healed. No, it's not. I'm looking at the bone sticking out of the skin. It's not healed. It still hurts. It's still swollen. I still can't hear out of my ear. I still can't digest food. That means you have not manifest a gift of the Spirit. I know that goes against a certain faith teaching, but reality is reality. Either you're healed or you're not healed. Now, you will be healed, or God's promised you're healed and he's perfect, whatever. But it has not been manifest in your body. Therefore, you have not received the gift of healing in your body yet. If you're not healed, it's not a shame thing. It's not a you got a lack of faith thing. It's just a you have not been healed yet. Keep going for your healing. I mean, there's things that I've received prayer for 10, 15 years. You don't go to the doctor and stop going to the doctor when you don't need to go to the doctor. Going to the doctor is not keeping you from being healed. It's keeping you from dying. It's okay. And say, well, we'll be healed in heaven. That's great, but I'd like to be healed now. My kids don't need me healed in heaven. They need me healed on earth. And I'll go ahead and take the medicine until my healing has manifest, and then I will stop taking it. Well, how do you know I'm healed? You won't be sick. That's the test. That's the test of the manifestation of the gift. When you don't need a healing, then you're healed. If you still need healing, you're not healed. I know it sounds radical, but so the Bible says that each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Holy Spirit manifestation for everybody's benefit. The gift is not an external object that's added to us. It's not like Holy Spirit reaches out into the Netherlands and puts something in you. That's not what the scripture says. It's the ability of the believer to have the Spirit of God show up in a situation. That is the gift. You have a particular ability in a certain way the Holy Spirit likes to show up, and you have an ability to have that Spirit of God show up in a situation in a certain way. Does that make sense? Are we getting this? And so the two gifts we're going to talk about today, we find in verse 8, it says, through the Spirit, utterance of wisdom and the utterance of knowledge. Utterance of wisdom and knowledge. Now, the word there for utterance, your Bible might say the word of wisdom. You might have heard it, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. The word there for word in Greek is called logos. And we did a whole teaching on logos and rhemas, and there's a lot of popular teaching on that isn't really rooted in scripture, but it's irrelevant to me. Call it what you want. Logos means word, and word does not always mean written. That's not a correct teaching. Word means word. It could be spoken, could be thought, could be an utterance. It could be a message. You can use that word for any of those things. So it could be a message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, utterance of wisdom, word of knowledge. It doesn't really matter right there. What they're talking about is a manifest communication. Okay, so that just so we're all talking on the same level here. So literally what we're talking about, a message or utterance of wisdom or knowledge, and the wisdom or knowledge that we're talking about here is divine truth. So we're literally talking about an utterance of divine truth, which is literally Jesus. So Jesus is the truth, and he is the word. We're talking about you get an utterance of divine truth and wisdom, the words of Jesus. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. We know the Spirit of God is God. And so when we speak his word, it's literally Jesus on the scene. It's powerful, and it has impact. And so when something is not that significant, it's not really a manifestation of the Spirit. And that's okay. Just don't call it what it is. So we're going to start off today talking about the word of wisdom. And I find this so exciting. And and it's really my hope that this opens avenues of some of you into access of the Holy Spirit, access to Jesus without being weird or spooky, because God really is not weird or spooky. He's the normal. Amen. We're the abnormal. Amen. We're transforming into him. Yes. Not vice versa. He's not over here and we're over there and we can see him through a glass dimly, because if we saw him for real, we'd be freaked out and run. No, we see him through a glass dimly because we have this corrupt flesh. However, he is perfect and we want to become perfect even as he is perfect. In the words of Jesus. And so God is not strange. He's not weird. He's, you know, but he's outside of our realm. And so we need to be transformed to understand his ways. That's why we need to have our mind renewed so we can understand the things of God. Okay. Praise God. I don't want to go down that road. I feel like I could, though, because I've been on vacation. I'm ready to preach. All right. So when we study the word of wisdom, there's a popular teaching that you study the word of wisdom, and who knows the story of Solomon and the two women and the baby, and the two women said that they were the mom, and the king said, okay, how do I decide this? Well, what we'll do is we'll cut the baby in half. And the one woman said, yeah, that's good. And the other woman said, no, don't do that. And he said, the woman who said don't do that, she must be the mom. That's such a great wisdom. And it's possible that Holy Spirit manifests that way, but to say that that is the word of wisdom kind of really demeans the manifestation of the gift. Holy Spirit was not sent to the earth to solve problems. Amen. I mean, he will solve problems, and we can have his wisdom help us to solve problems, but he came to reveal Jesus. Yeah. And when you have the wisdom, yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that come with it. But that is not the main purpose. It's just like he does not want to bless your offering so you can buy a massive house and think about how people are starving and you're not. That's not why he sends wealth. I mean, that can be a fruit of it, but that's not the point of it. You know, and he wants to help pay your bills, but that's not the end result. So in the first three chapters of this book that we're in right now, 1 Corinthians, in the first three chapters, Paul uses wisdom or wise or wiser 25 times. He used the word 25 times. And when you start looking at the books of the Bible, if you read the Bible regularly and you read whole books, don't just read, you know, a chapter here and a paragraph there and a couple sentences here. Read whole books, because Paul was writing a letter to a church in a city. And it's important to understand front to back that he's trying to communicate something. And as we learn, as we read 1 Corinthians, which I find just a brilliant, brilliant tome, just a brilliant epistle of Paul trying to fix a church in chaos, but impart apostolic wisdom. You could see that in the first several chapters, he's laying the foundation of later corrections. And so we see in the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, he talks about wisdom over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we look in verse 17, and he says, look, I came and I preached the gospel, but not with eloquent words, with eloquent wisdom. I didn't preach it, not with words of eloquent wisdom. What is he saying there? Paul, right there at the beginning, is saying, listen, I laid a foundation that didn't just come from me. We're not talking about Paul here. We're not talking about, even though I'm a brilliant man and I'm well-educated and I understand the language and I know how to communicate, this wasn't me I was laying out to you. This didn't come from my own teaching, my own understanding. Paul is putting out there, listen, you can try to reject me if you want, but the wisdom I brought is not just Paul. When you reject the words I brought, they weren't just Paul you're rejecting. You're rejecting God himself. In the next chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he says it this way. He says, when I came to you, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Again, he goes back to the same theme. It's not my wisdom I came with. Verse 2, he says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, I want you to see here, this is very important. He says, I didn't come proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech. He's saying, I did come preaching. I did preach. I did talk. I did teach. But I didn't come with my words. I came preaching knowing only Christ and him crucified. Now, what you can really get into trouble here is saying, Paul didn't preach. He just did the stuff. And so there's this popular phrase that makes it feel like the burden is lifted to witness. We say, well, you know, preach everywhere and use words if you have to. Well, that's cute, but it's contrary to scripture. How will they know unless somebody is sent? How will they know unless someone preaches the gospel? How will they get saved unless someone proclaims that Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Paul said, I came preaching. Oh, I did. I taught you stuff. But that wasn't me. I was teaching you. These weren't just my own little, he's saying, listen, I know they sounded eloquent. I know it sounded amazing. I know this is stuff that you thought was amazing and beyond myself. You know why? Because it was. It was God. This wasn't just my own doctrine. He spoke, but without their human wisdom. So you can't reject it as human wisdom. He goes on to, in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration. Literally, what he's saying is, my words were not just me coming up with clever stuff, but it was a manifestation of the Spirit and power. Now, people have said, look, you know, I don't come with words of wisdom, but I come with the power of God. That's a neat way to say that, but it's wrong. And I've preached that. I've preached it, and I've thought it, and I've declared it. You know, I don't come preaching. I come doing signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And I do, yes, that's nice and all. But at some point, you got to preach the gospel. At some point, Jesus has to be glorified in the whole thing. And Paul here is not saying, I didn't preach, I healed people. That's not what he says. He didn't say, I didn't come preaching, I came and did miracles. No, that's not what he says. He says, I didn't come here preaching just plausible words of wisdom. I came here in my preaching manifesting Jesus Christ by his Spirit. My words had power. It was his words, his preaching that had power. Now, clearly, if you know Paul, well, like, I know his writings. I don't actually know him. But if you read Paul and you understand his ministry, clearly he did miracles. Clearly he healed the sick. Clearly faith manifested in amazing ways. Clearly he had prophecy. Clearly, I mean, just all those things happen. But to understand this scripture is not to take away from the fact that we need a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the natural realm. We need prophecy and miracles, and to understand what he's saying here is the words I preached had power does not take away from your need to be able to operate in miracle signs and wonders. That's a good word, Pastor. Thanks, I appreciate that, choir. That's a good word right there, yeah.
That's right.
Sam, appreciate that. Okay, why is this significant? Why am I on this pony? Well, in 2:5, he says, look, I don't want your faith to be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. The problem is, in charismatic Christianity, we're the worst at this. But other people are. We're just terrible at elevating men to be idols. We're terrible at it. We just do it all the time. And if somebody can manifest a specific gift of the Spirit, all of a sudden, they are the gatekeeper between you and Christ. All of a sudden, they are the man you have to go see in order to hear from God. All of a sudden, you know, you can't get wisdom on your own. You can't get word on your own. You can't get understanding on your own. Oh, I can't pray for my family. I got to bring them to brother so-and-so because he's got the miracle working. He's the one with the power of God. And Paul saw this coming. I mean, Paul, man, he loved God, but he loved the church, and he did not want them to be enslaved by men. He didn't want people to need another mediator between God and man. And so at the beginning, he's laying it down here. No. I see, you know, you got these super apostles. I'm not one of them. I'm just a man who came here manifesting God when I preached. That's kind of amazing. In verse 6, he says, in verse 5, he says that, you know, I came not with the wisdom of man, but the power of God. In verse 6, he talked about in his preaching, he imparted wisdom. And in verse 7, he says, we impart a deep and hidden wisdom of God. That's amazing right there. And in verse 9, he goes on and he says, the Spirit of God searches the depths of God. Or literally, the Spirit of God searches the deep things. That's what I'm looking for. The goal of the word of wisdom and the goal of us as believers is to understand God and his ways. It's to understand God and his ways. So literally, Paul is saying here, listen, if you've received the Spirit of God, I came preaching under the power of the Holy Ghost, and I manifest the word of wisdom as I preach to you. And literally, the Spirit of God that dwells in me seeks deep hidden mysteries so I can preach them and reveal them to you. Now, what happens when you receive that deep hidden mystery? If you look toward me and think I'm great, then that was not God. If you look at me and you start thinking, man, that Carl, I just got to sit at his feet. I can't even ever get what he's got right there. He is amazing. If that's what happens, I'm not preaching Christ, I'm preaching Carl. But if I search the deep things, the Spirit in me seeks the deep things, reveals them to me. He reveals them to me because he wants you to know it. Why? So you can have access to the deep things. And so literally the Holy Ghost gives me a little nugget and I say, look, here's a deep wisdom mystery right there. And it hits you. You say, I got to find more of that right there. Where is that? Where is that? I got to find that right there. Where does this connect? Where does this piece of the Holy Ghost connect? I have to find this. And it opens a realm to you. You say, ah, that's God right there because it matches to this piece of wisdom he's given me. Now, if you seek and you can't find that thing anywhere except in another man, if you can't find a confirmation of that in the Word, in the Spirit, in your relationship with God, guess what? You've just been enslaved. You've been enslaved. And I guarantee you that is not the job of the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you that is not Christ's role. He is not doing that. He is not trying to glorify a man. I promise you that. Is this, we getting something here? Yeah. I'm trying to launch y'all a little bit. Paul talked to the church in Ephesus, and we quote this scripture a lot. In 1:17, he says, the Spirit, he prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Now that's a neat little prayer right there. Can you imagine Paul sending you a letter? I'm praying that you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're like, I thought I had a revelation. I thought I was wise. Me walk up to you. I'm just praying that you get wisdom. Wait a minute. What does that mean right there? Huh? Can you imagine? I mean, ladies, imagine someone walks up to you and says, wow, you know, man, I just love you. I'm really praying that you're able to make clothes match. Or dudes, they say to you, man, I love that shirt. Do they make it in men's or just... You know, that's like, that's not a compliment as such. They don't, as such, you know? And so Paul says, listen, y'all are amazing. Y'all are great. I'm praying for you all the time. I'm praying that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you. I don't, thank you. Okay, you know, why would Paul pray that? Well, the wisdom of God should reveal more of God. And this is the primary purpose of the gift of the utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom, or the message of wisdom, however you want to put it, the logos of wisdom. It is to reveal more of how God operates on the earth so we can have a little greater connection to him. We do it for the common good. That's why it has to be an utterance, because we speak it to someone else, enabling them to connect to God. Right? Paul goes on in his letter to the church in Ephesus. He says in verse 18, 118, he says, the eyes of our understanding are opened. He's saying, once you receive this wisdom of revelation, the eyes of our understanding are then opened, and we're able to receive the deep revelation or illumination of the deep wisdom of God in Jesus. When we receive the spirit of wisdom, when we receive that spirit, then we're able to have the wisdom of God illuminated in our hearts. Now, by this prayer, Paul says, I pray for you that you receive the spirit. There's a couple of prerequisites to this. Number one, he already prayed for them. He already declared, I thank you that you've been sealed with the Spirit of God. That means he's talking to believers here. He's talking to people who profess Jesus Christ as being Lord, and they've already received the Spirit of God, and so that they're able to operate in that. I'm kind of getting a pull right here in the Spirit. I'm trying to avoid it here for a moment. When we receive this word of wisdom, when we receive it into ourselves, it's trivia. But when we speak these words at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, this is the charismatic gift of the word of wisdom. It is when you receive this and you speak it at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and instantly it opens up realms for people. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul says that he speaks again about this mystery. He says that this mystery in Christ are found all the treasure and of wisdom and knowledge. That in Christ, we have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So literally he's saying when the Holy Spirit manifests, he reveals to us Jesus that we have this gift of wisdom and knowledge. We can manifest it to the earth. We go get this thing, this wisdom nugget, and we proclaim it to the earth, which connects people to the God through Holy Ghost so that they can come to the Father and be one with him. And it's all part of God's master plan. Again, this is not Holy Spirit reaching out into the nether sphere and pulling out something and giving it to you. That has nothing to do with who God is. You understand this? The gifts are not some other thing other than God, just so when you get saved, you can manifest power on the earth and show people that Jesus is alive. I mean, yes, but no. Literally, it is a connection to God by the Holy Ghost. He's working everything according to his plan. He wants to receive everyone home. The Father is looking for his prodigals to bring them home. And he's manifesting himself in many, many ways so that people can see that he is alive and he has a plan and that people can come home and be connected to the living God. And it all works according to that plan. Yes? Yes. Excellent. The word of wisdom, if it's a true word of wisdom, should make who God is more clear in your life, not more confusing. I've seen people, and we've talked about this when we talked about the difference between exegesis and eisegesis. One of the problems with not using proper exegesis is it elevates man above the word. And what we find is, I found people who hear something really clever and really amazing and really out there, and it leaves them like, wow. Wow. And they point at it like it's far off, that it's hard to understand. But the Holy Spirit illuminates things. And if it's not been illuminated in your understanding, it's not a real word of wisdom. It's probably just the wisdom of men. Okay, this is an important point. I want you to catch it. So I'm going to hit this one more time. If you listen to prophetic ministers enough, they'll start off with a scripture. And most messages are based on a scripture. There should be a proof text at the beginning saying, this is a scripture I'm going to expound upon. Not always, because it could be a topical sermon. But when you have someone who has a proof text and they read you a text and then they say, this word right here, you thought you know what this word means. You thought you know what that means. But I'm going to give you another meaning that it could mean. And if it means that, then, and they preach a whole message on if it means that word. But what if it doesn't mean that word? What if you just made that up to sound clever? What if you thought that was clever, but you didn't really check the scriptures, and now we're just preaching you? And it's not opening me up to more scripture. It's bringing confusion. Because now I've just got this who Jesus is, which is the word of God. I've got this who he is. Paul said, look, when I preach this thing to you, I'm laying a foundation for all your other understanding. This is a foundation. What happens when you get the foundation wrong? What if you got a square house and you lay a round foundation? You've just dictated you're going to have a round house. Or you're going to have a square house that's smaller than you intended because there's no corners on the foundation. Yes? You lay a foundation and you just put the plumbing up wherever you want. You know, I'm going to put up, well, I wanted to have a bathroom right here, but there's no plumbing. You change the foundation of something and you've just changed what you can build. And so when people treat the word of God as if it's just something I can manipulate however I want, well, if this word means that, then this. And if that means that, then all of a sudden I don't have to stop sinning. Whoa, we've just changed who Jesus is. How do I build upon that? Well, no. You see here, it's for my good pleasure, and he's really interested in my pleasure, and this brings me pleasure, so it's okay. Whoa. It doesn't feel right for me to do that, so I'm like, well, that's the problem. Righteousness doesn't feel right to you. And we're just going to line up with the scripture right now, not our feelings. Is this? Now, this goes both ways. I mean, legalism. You can get legalism in here, and he says, oh, I got to submit to authority, and he told me to do that, and therefore I have to do this. But what he just told you to do is contrary to scripture. Well, I got to submit. No, well, you just built a wrong foundation. Now, man is your God. You got a problem. Oh, he failed, and now I walked away from God. Well, that should let you know you weren't built upon the word. You were built upon a man. Just get correction, repent, and get submitted to another man of God, and just make sure you know who Jesus is, and just walk on with your life. Praise God. Are we together? We preach this, but this ain't the end all be all. Oh, what do you mean? You mean the word isn't? No, this is the foundation. Paul said, look, I laid this, build upon it now. Can you imagine we go to a third world country and we pay all the money for them to have a nice foundation. We come back, 3 years later. Well, let me see the house you built. No, we just got the foundation. We didn't want to change what you built. No. We built an American code foundation. So when all these storms come through, your house wouldn't get knocked down. But you didn't build a house. Well, we don't want to mess up what you built. Apparently, we've communicated wrong here. See these plans that we gave you? You don't just study the plans. We don't just study the plans. Oh, yeah, they have houses in America, and we sit on the foundation that they built, and we look at the pictures of the house in America and the plans that they gave us. No, build the house, but upon the foundation that Paul laid for us in the Word. Amen? I don't know how to make it any more simple than that. When real godly wisdom is manifest, things become more clear. They just become more clear. Not more complicated, not more difficult, not more cloudy. Romans 8, Paul said, listen, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit about Jesus Christ. If people preach stuff and you're like, huh? I have to worship on a Saturday, huh? That right there shows it didn't bear witness with your spirit. Now people will say, what? I have to stop living with this person I'm not married to? Yes, that's called righteousness. Oh, and here's what almost always happens. For a moment, they receive it with joy. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's freedom. And then they start counting the cost. Oh, that'll be difficult, though. I'm going to pay my own bills. I have to stop having sex. Going to have to look bad to people because I'm moving out. God wouldn't want that. Yeah, no, never mind. Then they start justifying. It brings freedom, brings wisdom, brings understanding. You get that? That's the word of wisdom. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
And so the word of wisdom can come many ways. It can come in many situations. I love the word of wisdom when it comes in the midst of counsel, when you're counseling people and the word of wisdom comes forth. But literally, I like the word of wisdom comes just when brothers are opening the word or fellas are praying together or when a prophetic word comes with the word of wisdom in it. Oftentimes, people call a word of wisdom prophecy, but it's not really prophecy at all. It's a word of wisdom. Because the word of wisdom is based in revelation, and we call all revelatory words prophecy when they're not. Is that too high or low? I don't know. Maybe you already know that. I just, you know, if I look at you and I say, Sam, you're trying to do this thing, but have you thought about that? Whoa. Now everything just makes sense. That's not a prophecy. It's a word of wisdom. And we just don't call it that as such. We call it prophecy. Praise God. You good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Bless people with words of wisdom. And don't say God is telling them to do something. Just say, this is what I got. I just really feel like God may want me to say this to you, and you'll have to test it and see if it's really God. Just say that.
Yeah.
And I forgot to say this last week. Can I just say this? When you give a prophecy to someone, ask them if it makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're too scared to ask for feedback, just leave it in your prayer closet and pray it. But don't thump somebody on the head because they don't want to receive your crazy word of prophecy. No, you're supposed to go and do this. Yeah, I don't think so. Rebellious! You know, no. No. No, unless it's me giving it, and then it's something completely different. But. No. No. unless I'm telling you to stop living with somebody you're not married to. My wife amens me. Anyway, so you give a, you think you have a word for somebody, and you go to them and you say, you know, Mikey, I saw you driving that car, that broke down car, except he's got a decent car now. Now. I saw you driving that bike, and I just felt like, you know, have you thought about this? And he'll say, you know, just think about that. Does that make sense? So you have to add it on. Does that make sense? Like, no, actually, I don't own a bike anymore. Oh, that was me. Okay, thanks for letting me know that. Now I can discern whether or not that's me or God. That helps me. See, that's how we grow in the gifts right there. We ask for feedback. I've prayed for you for healing. Is it better? No. Okay, apparently. Excellent. Let's pray again. Yes? Okay. Praise God. Now let's move on to the word of knowledge, shall we? That was the utterance of wisdom. Now we're going to talk about the word of knowledge, and this will not take as long, Lord willing. Knowledge is often tied with wisdom in the word, but it is something different. That's why they differentiate between the two. In 1 Corinthians 2, again, let's go back to the beginning of this book. Paul says this at verse 12. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. For those who have received the Holy Ghost, he says, you can understand the things that God has in the Spirit and you can give them out. When you understand a spiritual truth and you give it to someone, it's called a word of knowledge. I have received a word of knowledge, a truth that is out there, and I speak it. And then it's a word of knowledge. It's different than wisdom, and it's different than prophecy. Prophecy is in the future. Word of knowledge is right now. Knowledge is right now. And so if I tell you, I come up to you and I say, you know, hey, Isaac, you're having a hard time with school, right? And he says, yes, I am. That's not a prophecy because it's happening right now. Look, I'm so prophetic. No, you're not. You got a word of knowledge. That's already out there. The people in class know it. You know, now my son is very good in math, so I just use that example. But, you know, just, but that's the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a spiritual truth that's out there that manifests right now, and it's already happening. And again, you have to remember why he would give a word of knowledge. Why would he give it? Is it so that we can be the Holy Ghost Jeopardy champs? No, that is not it at all. That's not the point. And let me, at this point, differentiate between divination and word of knowledge. Divination and word of knowledge are two completely different things. One is from God that glorifies Jesus. One is a gift of the devil. Divination, I'm going to get just a little, I don't talk about this a lot. There's demons. It's true. It really is. And there's people who hear the demons better than other people. And if you right now, let's say you're having a hard time paying your light bill, the demons know that. And so if someone comes up to you and says, I see you're having a hard time paying your light bill. He just spoke the truth. But it's not from God. Now, how do we know this? Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 says, "By this you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." So people say, "Oh, he's operating divination." Let me just tell you this right now. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. His blood was shed for sinners. He rose from the dead. One day he's coming back, but right now he's praying for me. You see, if you are operating in a spirit of divination, you can't make that proclamation. Well, how do you know? Because I've tested the spirit of divination. And I've looked people in the eyes and I say, "Why don't you just go ahead and tell me Jesus Christ has come in the flesh?" Like they can't make their mouth say it. Just let me make it easy. Say Jesus is alive. Yeah, you see, you can't because that's a demon. And if you'd like, I can get you delivered to that right now. I can cast it out of you. I have been given authority to cast that spirit out of you if you would like. Just so you know, if you would like to be free from it, I just want you to know on the great day, I will bear witness that you decided to operate in a spirit of divination. Just so you know. I just make proclamations like that from time to time. It doesn't endear me to people so much. Holy Spirit, now we have to remember, Holy Spirit manifests in a gift. Now, God is all-knowing. We are not. That's why you can't just turn on and off the word of knowledge. Some people operate in it more than others because that is the manifestation God has given them. But it is not the same as a person with the spirit of divination who can talk to these demons whenever they want. And someone says, you know, "Oh, they told me all these things and they were all true." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's because the devil was there when it happened." And he's telling the person who's talking to you because they know it was there. "But my mom had this ability to know these things and now I have it." Yes, we call that a familiar spirit. There's demons that you pass down from generation to generation. And you got to get free of those things. You got, at some point, you got to bow your knee to Jesus Christ and say, "Yeah, I know mama was a Mormon, but I got to say, you know what? We ain't going to be no Mormon in my family. Oh yeah, I know mama used to do the tarot cards and all that. And sometimes I would see these things around the house. But today I'm confessing Christ Jesus is Lord and that he has come in the flesh. And no longer am I going to go ahead and have communion with those unclean spirits." At some point, you got to break it. "Well, I just believe that all things..." Well, that's neat that you believe that, but I'm seeing the unclean spirit manifesting in your life. You just got to, you know, and it doesn't have to be spooky or scary. You just go ahead and repent and just let it be gone. I remember before I got saved, just to kind of tell you my testimony, before I got saved, my family was favorable towards these tarot card palm reading folks. And there were times before I received Christ that I would have words pop in my head. But I wasn't saved. And I remember I went to a man of God right after I got saved. Within like 3 weeks, I went to a man of God. And I said, "This divination thing you were talking about, what is that? And just what is that?" He looked me in the eye. This is what happened. He looked me in the eye and he said, "You believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you believe that he never sinned?" I said, "Yeah." "Do you believe that he died on the cross?" "Mm-hmm." "Do you believe that he rose from the dead 3 days later?" I said, "Yeah." "Do you believe that he's in heaven praying for you right now?" I said, "Yeah." "Do you believe that one day he's coming back for you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're free, brother." And I looked at him, and behind him, there was a demon standing there. I said, "Well, I'm free." And so when I remember in times, I would be talking to people, and I would expect this word to pop in my head, and it wasn't there anymore. And I rejoiced. I rejoiced. Why? Well, I was created by Jesus for his glory. Now, I was created to have access in the spirit realm. And the enemy knew that, and he would pervert that for his purposes. Now, I wasn't a psychic or, you know, I didn't do anything. I just had a proclivity to kind of know things that I really didn't. There was no reason. I don't know how you were wearing a green shirt. I don't know why I thought that. You know what I mean? It wasn't that I was out there giving seminars and selling crystal balls or anything. And if you are, that, you know, that can still be redeemed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying one's worse than the other. You know, I was apart from Christ going to hell. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'm saved. And so that was my, that's what I was created to do. And the fact of the matter is my, that's what my family is called to do. And I've decided to redeem that gift, and I've given it to Christ, and now Christ gives me messages because I have access to the spirit realm. Now, if you go to the spirit realm through anything other than Christ Jesus, it's illegal. You're coming through a window, and it's bad. And you know, he's going to come by and do some house cleaning one day, and it's not going to work out well. You have to go through Christ Jesus. So when people say they have a word for you, they have, you say, you know, hey, you believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? No? And you can just go ahead and save that word. But I have a word for you. So funny you come here about a word, because I got a word. His name is Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And you can get psychics saved, and they're kind of easy to get saved if you understand the spirit realm and you understand that, you know, there are low-level spirits and high-level spirits, and the high-level spirits are angels, and Jesus is running things, and low-level spirits are demons, and these people aren't, it's not going to work out well for them. But so the word of knowledge comes, and the word of knowledge, just like the word of wisdom and every other gift, manifests Jesus Christ on the earth by his spirit. Now, why would he want to do that in revealing a fact that is already here? Why would Jesus Christ, how would it manifest him to say something that's already happened? Wouldn't you think that it would have to be a miracle or have to be? Well, when you go to somebody and you let them know that God knows about their situation, that's kind of a big deal. First of all, you're standing in line at Walgreens and you just get a word of knowledge about a woman in her depression. Just to be in depression and not know God and know that God cares enough about my depression to tell somebody about it. When you go to spirit-filled church, you forget this. But if you don't know God, that freaks you out. Every little sign that Jesus Christ is alive rocks your world. People who don't know God, just to know that, hey, God just talked to me about this. What? You know, I've had words like that for people in stores, and immediately they're so shaken, they'll go outside and call their grandma, the only safe person they know. Seriously. I've gone to people, I say, you know, I just see intercession all over you. They're like, huh? You know, if you don't go to church, you don't even know what that word means. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, I just see that there's somebody in your family who loves Jesus, and they're praying for you all the time. And people just want to, they don't even know how to deal with that. Why? Because their spirit man is dead, and I've just provoked their spirit. And it just makes them, they don't know how to deal with that. They start coming unglued. And they would just like go outside on the phone, call grandma. Grandma, I just had somebody tell me this. I'm like, yeah, you know, go call grandma and get this worked out because God is calling you home. Your father is calling you home. And so we can think that we need, you know, to reveal, you know, the seventh seal and what the significance of the wheel within the wheel is and the eyes on the beast. And people who get really fixated on that are people who don't talk to the lost. Those are people who just get inward focused and get, you know, it's all about us and who I'm competing with other people to find out who has the most. No. I need to take this Jesus out there to the world, and they don't care what the wheel in the wheel is, and they don't care about the horns on the beast, and they don't care about when the return. They care about, how do I hear God? What does he want me to do? Why am I on this earth? That's what the world wants. Those are the answers they're looking for. They're not looking for, you know, spiritual trivia and what day I'm supposed to worship on. What they're looking for is, who is God and how can I know him? And when you get that word of knowledge, that thing that manifests, Jesus Christ is in your here and now, it changes people. Now, when God speaks a word of knowledge on something that does not glorify God, why would he do that? One reason, he wants to change it. The only reason he would give it. So if you see somebody and they got this word about depression, God sees that. The Lord has just shown me that there's like, I don't know, depression? Is there depression in your family? Yes. Wow. I'm awesome, huh? Okay, have a nice day. No. Why would God tell me that that woman has depression? Because God is going to manifest himself right now and change that circumstance. The only reason he would show me. He didn't show me these things so he can gossip about you and tell you my life is better than your life. Why don't you come to my church so you can know things like this too? No. The only reason God gives me this word of knowledge about your present situation is because he wants to change it. And I get them all the time about all kinds of stuff because God is constantly looking for someone he can use to change the world. If you would just be obedient to the things he gives you, I've gone to people. Bless the Lord. I get words of knowledge and all kinds of crazy things. I just go to people, where'd you get that jewelry from? I just feel like you got jewelry on from maybe an ex. You got to break that thing at some point. What? That's the word that'll set you free right there. Oh, wow, I'm held on to something that's dead. I'm going to go ahead and bury that and move on with my life. Hallelujah. But the interpretation is to Jesus. And so we manifest these gifts just so we can manifest Christ on the earth, not so we can bring trivia, not so we can just, hey, look, God does miracles. We already know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that, at least he used to. Everybody knows that. What they want to know is, what is God to me? What does he have to do with me? And it's your job to seek the Holy Spirit, to seek Jesus Christ, ask him to baptize you in his spirit, that he could give you gifts so you can be Christ's hands and mouth to this world. The world needs it. The world needs some people who are not looking to be prideful, who aren't judging them, who aren't trying to say we're better than you, why don't you come to my church? No, they're saying, listen, Jesus Christ is alive and I want to show you how alive he is right now. I'm busy right now, but he sent me to tell you this right now. Let me give you a quick story and then we're going to pray. I'm on my vacation and I love to minister, but I also like sitting next to the lazy river and watching my kids have a good time. Aside from Jesus Christ, my children are my passion. I love my kids. Wish I could spend more time with my kids. We're family. We're just close. I just like family. And so I'm sitting here, and we're sitting next to these people, and this is like on day 3 or 4, and I am burnt. I'm sunburnt. Like, some of y'all don't get burnt. You don't know what I'm talking about. I get burnt, okay? And I'm sunburnt, and my legs feel like you could cook eggs on them. I don't know what's happening. I'm like, we're definitely bumping up the SPF level today because this is nothing good's happening. And we're coming over this little bridge, and I see like, oh, I see like these 4 lawn chairs, and 2 of them are in the shade, and they're like gleaning for me. Carl, come out of the sun. Come here and be blessed. I'm like, oh, Holy Ghost, you love me. You're saving these seats for me. This is so awesome. And I go down and I come around and, and this dude and this woman sit down in the 2 in the shade. I'm like, Lord, should we call fire down on them? You know? I don't want to have to smite you. But you know, the rebellious will be with us forever. So I sat down next to them, my wife and I, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I feel like instantly I lay down and my legs go from like 98 degrees to 112. I'm like, oh, good Jesus, what is happening? I'm envisioning blisters coming. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if the ER is near here and if they have some sort of special lotion to keep me from losing my skin. You know, like I'm just thinking, okay, do I leave? Do I move? What do I do at this point? I just sit there. I'm like, oh, good Lord. And so this lady starts talking to me. And little secret about me, I don't like that so much. I just want to chill and hang out with my kids. I don't necessarily want to talk to people. It's just me, you know. That's wonderful. Can you be quiet now? That's awesome, you know. I didn't say that, but, you know, internally I'm repenting from, you know. And so this lady is talking to me a lot. And she wants to continue the conversation as I gave the, You know, I did that several times. Yeah. Is that a bird over there? What is... Oh, look, a plant. Yeah, that's great. Uh-huh. Gonna get my back sun now. If you're gonna... The part that's toward you, yeah. She's not taking a hint, though. She, like, really... She really wants to talk. And so We're sitting there, and she's talking about her grandkids and how she's taking her grandkids to this place. And I don't have grandkids, so can I just be honest, I don't care, you know, just like, and she's talking about the grandkids, and she's talking about her kids, and this, that, and the other, and she's talking about her daughter, and she's talking about the complications she has with her daughter, and why she's raising the grandkids, and she's going, and this lady is just like talking on a level that isn't normal. Like, there's people who aren't normal who, like, just have diarrhea of the mouth. You know what I mean? It's just like, can you take something to make the word stay in? Can you just... But then there's times where people are just talking, and just God is like, bruh, you know, at some point you're just going to get what's happening here. And so she's just talking. I'm like, okay, I see why I'm here. I got this. And she's talking about, she has problems with her daughter and she's raising the grandkids. And I look at her and I'm just like, does your daughter have mental illness by any chance? And she says, huh? We think she does. And instantly, I understood that the reason I'm standing next to this woman, I'm laying down, she's in my chair. The reason that I'm in this place, being burnt, suffering for Jesus next to the lazy river. The Lord has us there because this woman, you know, she's in her 60s. She's raising her grandkids. Her daughter is out. Her life is going crazy. And she doesn't understand it. And I say, you know what? It's frustrating sometimes when you deal with people who have mental illness and you want to slap them, but they just, it's not possible for them to change. And she almost began choking as she's getting delivered, as I'm speaking these words of life to her. It's like this weight came off, this confusion and this, it just, I watched it, and her eyes began to tear up, and she immediately turns to her husband and tells him the things. She's like, what do you, I'm like, well, here's what I like to tell people. I work at a church. You tell people you're a pastor, and all of a sudden they're like, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It's been 17 years since I've had a confession. I'm like, listen, I'm... This is not what I'm trying to do right now. So I'll say things like, I work at a nonprofit, you know, or I do some mental health counseling. You know, I'll do those kind of things, you know. And so I say, yeah, I work at a church. And, you know, sometimes I counsel people. And she's like, really? What do you do at the church? I pastor the church. That's what I do. I'm the pastor of a church. But not right now. I'm on vacation, you know. And you're in my chair. No. But, you know, and my wife sits down and they're like, we're talking about these things. And I'm like, you know, kind of sounds like bipolar. And she's like, what are the symptoms of bipolar? And my wife sits down. I'm like, honey, would you like to tell her do you work at the church? No, she's a mental health counselor. You know, why don't you just go ahead and we'll just be working here for the next 90 minutes. We'll just be on the clock, as it were. But why am I telling you this story? So you can, you know, feel bad for me, number one. But number two, you know, I'm saved. And I've received the Holy Ghost. And this isn't just for altar calls on Sunday morning so you can say that the Revival Life Church is so amazing. No, this is, I mean, yes, but no. The Holy Ghost has come to fill us so we can be God's hands and mouth to the world. So we're talking to this woman, and you just see her getting free. Now, we're not able to solve her problem, but we were telling her things like, these are the symptoms of bipolar disorder, and what you're experiencing is really kind of common. And that thing, that episode you talked about, is a manic episode. And what you need to do is find a group to plug into and understand these things and get your daughter some help. And then I said, isn't it kind of funny that God just had us sit here next to you? She's like, wow, yeah, man, that's really great of him. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has just been manifest right here next to the lazy river on my vacation. You understand what I'm saying? This doesn't have to be spooky and spiritual and weird. And it's just, I talk to people and God manifests as I yield my mind and my mouth to him. And sometimes he's stubborn about those things. There's a world who doesn't know God. And there's a world who've only heard gossip about him. All they've heard is gossip about God, that he's mean and he talks bad about people and he wants to kill people and he hates people and he hates things and he's not, I mean, that's gossip. He's been gossiped about, and we need to spread who he really is. He's a healing God. He's a loving God. He's really good, and he's cool to know. And life is better with him than without him. So we want these gifts to manifest, not to glorify us, but so that God can get some hands and some feet and a mouth on the earth. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we love you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to pray for you real quick, and we're going to be out of here. I'm just going to pray that you get these opportunities and that you flow in the Holy Ghost more. Amen? Put your hand on your heart. Father, in the name... Whoa.
Hallelujah.
Reba. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. I pray that we will be sensitive to your spirit, Lord, that we can speak mysteries to a world that does not know you. Wow. Father, we just... Father, you sent your son to die on a cross so this world can come home. They can come home to daddy. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would make us so sensitive to your spirit. We would just yield. We just move beyond trying to figure out our good, and we move on to living for your glory. We wouldn't get tripped up by those things. We're at the precipice of your plans, Father. We would dive in. Lord, there's a world we know that needs to know you. They're hurting. They're hurting. They're suffering because they don't know their Creator and His healing power. And right now, Jesus, right now, Jesus, right now, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit in this room and you would ignite a passion to know you, to know your ways, to seek the Scriptures, that we may know the deep things of God, that we can find people that you can trust with the deep things, the deep revelation, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Lord, I pray that you put us in situations this week that there's a massive hole in need of wisdom and revelation, and that we will be your mouth in those situations. Woo! Wow. Shende bakante rebeke. Rebo son tarabaye. Rabba. Ron, are you still in here? Come quick. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep praying. Hallelujah. This might sound odd, but I believe this is the interpretation of the tongue that I just had.
Earlier, during worship, the Lord, he was revealing something to me, and it was I just kept seeing a key. It was a key. It was a jeweled key. And it was just kind of floating around. And then I saw the gates, and the gates were the gates of heaven. And then the key was floating around. It was there. It was like the key. You had access to the key, but you needed the key to get to the gate. And that it was readily available. But not people weren't necessarily accessing the key to get to the gate, you know, and the gate was kind of waiting on people.
That's the world waiting for you to get the key of Jesus to open heaven for them. And right now, I believe that people are going to receive the key, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge that would open the locked area in people's lives, that heaven may flow in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and receive it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out wisdom and revelation, Jesus. Even as Paul prayed, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. Lord Jesus, that your Spirit would search the deep things and that you would reveal deep things to our deep, that we may bring them to the world and reveal Christ to this lost generation, Jesus. Go ahead, come on, pray for a minute. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. Reba. I see the keys coming, by the way. I don't know how many people are seeing them, but I'm seeing them fall in the room right now. This is what we're going to do right now. If you're in a situation and you need God to speak, you need some wisdom desperately. You're in a situation and you don't know what to do. We're not going to prophesy to you. We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to trust that God is going to speak to you. We're not going to do, okay, we're going to believe that God is going to give you wisdom. If that's you, you're in a situation right now, like, I do not know what to do in this situation. I want you to raise your hand. Who is that in this room? Keep your hand high. Okay, folks, if you're saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're the ministry team. Gather around them. Keep your hands in the air until a couple of people have their hand on your shoulder. You're not going to tell them what to do. You're going to just pray in the Holy Ghost that God speaks. Once someone is around you and there's a couple of people praying for you, you can put your hand down. But look around, folks, all over. Turn up the house lights if you would. Turn up the house lights if you would. That was up, not off. If you look around, there's still some hands in the air. Okay, if you're saved, go to someone with their hands in the air.